Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and this is your daily dose on all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today, it's Wednesday, January 22nd, and we've got a few things to cover today. Gonna talk some news with the latest in the Antonio Brown saga with more police being involved at his home. We'll get you all the details on that story. We'll also talk about what happened with the Steelers losing one of their salary cap specialists to the Carolina Panthers. And finally, we'll get to talking about just how far away the Steelers are from being one of the top contenders in the NFL. If you're listening to this podcast, you want to make sure that you always get your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Be sure to subscribe anywhere that you get your podcast, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere podcasts are hosted. This is a Monday through Friday show that will give you the regular updates on the Pittsburgh Steelers and the NFL. Let's get into today's episode. Okay, everyone, happy hump day to everyone out there. It's Wednesday, so it's time to get the middle of the week over with. After this, it's all downhill from here. As it's kind of been for Antonio Brown's career since he departed the Steelers, it's been all downhill in a bad way. I know people don't want to hear about Antonio Brown a lot, but we have to. He's a former Steeler. He's one of the biggest names in recent franchise history. And really anything that stems from him kind of at least needs to be tagged on. I won't spend the entire show talking about it, but this is our top story of the day. Antonio Brown involved in another incident, this time reporting from TMZ Sports. It appears that the police are asking him to surrender peacefully as they are getting a warrant worked up for his arrest. This all stems from a report from TMZ Sports that on Tuesday afternoon, Antonio Brown's house was surrounded by police cars based off of a report that a driver of a moving truck was attacked and injured. Antonio Brown right now is a suspect in the felony battery and burglary case stemming from that incident, and it's told by TMZ Sports that there's already a man who's been arrested involved with this incident. Basically, they were showing pictures and footage of all the police cars around Antonio Brown's home. It's been said to be, quote-unquote, an active scene. There's still not a whole lot of information out there as to what exactly happened, but what appears to be the case is that there was a moving van outside, or a moving truck outside of Antonio Brown's home in Miami, Florida, and that the sources from TMZ suggest that the driver from the van or the moving company was injured and that Antonio Brown might have been involved, but there's already been a person that's been associated with him that's been arrested. These all coming from TMZ reports and other news outlets like ESPN that have been working on this story. This comes as a continuation of what's been going on with Antonio Brown. If you've been, I've brought it up on the show on occasion. You saw the stuff, a couple weeks ago or maybe even last week. It's all so clumped up together now. And when you think about all of it, but just last week, he filmed himself berating police officers and his ex, Chelsea Kyrus, just calling them names, yelling obscenities at them, and throwing a bag of gummy male genitalia, I'll say it that way for our PG listeners on the show. Essentially, it's just continues to look like this is going to end in a bad place. But let's at least look at this from, again, the bigger picture standpoint here. Antonio Brown, I've been saying this for over a year. I don't think this is funny. I don't think this is entertaining. But this is a guy who was the best receiver in football for like 6 years in the NFL. And he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. And all he had to do for the rest of his life was to catch footballs. Even if he stunk after last season. Even if he just kind of fell off. But he was just, hey, I'm just going to be this quiet guy. And he could retire into the lap of luxury. He could have been a prince of the city. People would love him even without a Super Bowl ring. And this is where he's at now. And I said this a year ago. I still maintain this today. I think Antonio Brown's brain has been devolving since then. I'm not saying this as a sympathy ploy for him. I think that he's had his character faults like everyone else. I think he does have major issues that he has to resolve within himself. But I also think that this is a guy who at least knew how to button it up when he needed to. And now he doesn't know how to. And he continues to take actions that make absolutely no sense and get more erratic, it seems, every month. And now you have multiple incidents with the police. There's been multiple incidents where his ex has been seen coming up to his home and problems with that. And now you got an incident where someone might have actually gotten hurt. And this is what I warned about even a year ago. It's not necessarily Antonio Brown. If you don't feel bad for Antonio Brown, that's not what I'm asking anyone to do. And I'm really not asking him to do anything. I'm noting that a lot of people think this is funny and they like to laugh about it on social media. And I mean, it's your right to laugh about whatever. But this could end sooner than we think with people getting hurt. And it's clear that someone already has gotten hurt. But this is something light. If this guy just got injured and, you know, it's a moving van guy, what if it involves some of the kids? And who's to say the kids aren't already being traumatized by seeing everything that's going on and not being able to understand why are things happening like this? There's just so much going into this situation, and it seems to be continuing to spiral out of control for Antonio Brown. We don't know how far down he will spiral at this point. You got to hope that somebody can step up to him and help him stop what he's doing, get him somewhere where he can get help, because his actions don't speak of anyone who's sane. And if you want to see where that can end up, just look at the recent reports of the former guard of the NBA, Delonte West. He was recently seen on video getting beat up in the streets of DC by a biker. And I mean, the guy was like stomping on his head, and there was video that was posted of him in handcuffs. Delonte West being, you know, yelling into the camera, looking insane. And it's crazy to think that this guy, who was once a first round draft pick of the Boston Celtics, and you know, a guy who played in the NBA for 8 years and bounced around other leagues after that, that he's fallen this far off the grid. And there's even been NFL players like Dez Bryant who have said, "Hey, so we got to help this man. I'm going to take it upon me to at least try." And I think someone needs to do that for Antonio Brown before he gets to the Delonte West level, where it looks like he doesn't have any money and he's putting other people at risk. Because right now, Antonio Brown, he probably still has a whole lot of money that he, like his song says, he probably still has a whole lot of money to depend on. But what happens when things start to get tight on him and situations start to clam up and he has to look for answers and there are none? That's when you start to see the more erratic of decisions. And we haven't even gotten to that point where we're already seeing the craziness come from his situation. So we'll keep tabs on what happens with Antonio Brown. It's not something that I really enjoy talking about, but it's something that I feel it's like a duty of journalists, especially if you've covered the team. I mean, I used to write about how amazing this man was at breaking down coverages. I thought he had a better eye for understanding what defenses were doing than Ben Roethlisberger at times. And to see the guy that was doing that and the guy that he respected me in the locker room, answered my questions, to see him go to the point where he can't answer anybody's questions, and he just, even Drew Rosenhaus has said, "You need to get help," and stepped away from him. Drew Rosenhaus has represented a lot of people who have done a lot of controversial things. To see all this happening is just, it's a crazy story. And I think someday we're going to be watching a documentary about it and thinking, wow, how did this happen? Well, we're seeing it happen. So, all right, we're going to take a break here, and then I'll be right back talking about some current Steelers news with other guys that have left the organization. All right, listen up, guys. You know you guys can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. And that's BlueChew.com and blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's F-R-E-E, free. When you use our special promo code NFL, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NFL to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, let's get to something about someone who's just on the Steelers this past season and why they're leaving. And yes, we're talking about football administrative coordinator Samir Suleiman. Samir Suleiman was a guy that worked under Kevin Colbert for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is now, according to Ed Bouchette of The Athletic, he is leaving the Steelers to join up with the Carolina Panthers. As I understand, it's not clear yet what position he's taking with the Carolina Panthers, but for those who do not know, the Panthers are now owned by David Tepper, who had a lot of Pittsburgh ties, a minority owner for the Steelers at one point, and he's a guy who has a lot of ties to the Steelers organization, knows people there, and he's trying to kind of build what the Steelers have done in Carolina for that organization, which is going to be a heck of a rebuild for their roster, at least considering Cam Newton's injuries and now Luke Kuechly being out because he's retired. Lots to consider there about how they're moving forward. But, you know, I had someone post in the Facebook group asking about this story. I wanted to get to it during this week. I'm trying to spread out the different news pieces so I can that we can have something different to talk about each day, because if I lump every single news story immediately as it comes out into one episode, it's going to make for a rough stretch of some days talking about different things. But this is what we're going to focus today's news segment on outside of the Antonio Brown fiasco. Now, for those who don't know much about Suleiman, he's been with the team since about 2013. He's been the kind of one of the guys that's a number cruncher. You know, some of you might think of Omar Khan and his connection with the Steelers. Now he's been the number cruncher. I want to stress this to everyone. This is not a huge thing. This is just part of the process that happens when guys work for an organization for a long time and then they want to move up in the world. They see an opportunity to increase their role and they take it. It happens. And when you're with the Steelers and you have a strong organization with guys that you trust, you're going to keep those guys in their top positions until they're ready to roll or until you find them to be obsolete. So Suleiman sees a way to move up. Now, if you look up Suleiman, he does have a bit of a history in the NFL. Stories from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, talked about how he filed a grievance against the Cleveland Browns back in 2009 and was reportedly reprimanded by the then St. Louis Rams for leaving a threatening message on a voicemail of the then local newspaper columnist Bernie Miklas. And then that was after a report that he was stabbing former coach Mike Martz in the back. Suleiman left a message for Miklas, who reported that, saying, "Tell your source I'm not a backstabber. I'm a F blank 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 throat slasher, and he'll know the difference before it's all said and done." So a clear threat there to whoever Miklas' source was by Suleiman. So that was a little sketchy. But the fact that he's been with the Steelers for what was seven seasons, I think that's impressive. But any guy who does this kind of stuff for long enough, you eventually want to just, you know, kind of move on, get new opportunities. This kind of stuff happens. It's also not new with the organization. I know some people might be panicking, as people always do when they hear about, oh, this guy's leaving, and you probably haven't heard it. You never heard of this guy before then. Let me tell you about, you know, another guy that left the Steelers way back when, and I'd say back around 2010. His name was Doug Whaley. And for a while, he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers he was basically Kevin Colbert's right-hand man from basically his start in time to until when he left the Steelers in 2010. Whaley worked right with Colbert. He was a huge part of their scouting department. He was a big part of finding players like Lamar Woodley, Troy Polamalu, Lawrence Timmons, and he got a job with the Buffalo Bills to be the assistant manager and the director of pro personnel. He stuck with them for a little while, but then eventually he kind of fizzled out there. He's now working as the senior vice president of football operations with the XFL. So that's another thing to look at. But the history of these type of things isn't too big of a shakeup. I think the Steelers, when you talk about number crunchers, they can find other guys that can crunch the numbers pretty well. They as an organization are very good about hiring people in these administrative positions that will do their job and work within the philosophy of the organization. Now, if Kevin Colbert were to leave and they didn't hire from within, that would be a consideration to see, how does this work? Because, and if Mike Tomlin's still around, how does that relationship grow? Because Tomlin and Colbert trust each other. They have by all accounts, they have a good relationship. That would be something to look at. But the guys that kind of work in those departments and they work on the number crunching and such, there's other number crunchers out there. I just want to point that out. The Steelers organization, if nothing else, should be one of those organizations that says to everyone that, hey, don't panic. They've got an answer to whatever this problem is as far as administratively. So I'd say Suleiman leaving, it should raise an eyebrow. Just be like, oh, that happened. And you'll keep an eye on who the Steelers might replace him. We'll see. I'll report and any further news that comes out about the position and what happens on the administrative side and the bookkeeping and the salary cap watching part of it. But as of now, the Steelers should be fine in that department. They still got a strong hold on where they are and where they're going. All right, we're going to take one more break here. And then after that, I'm going to get into what I'm going to do, my sort of hot take of the day. Everyone's always talking about physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that's mental fitness. That brings us Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, which is now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron James and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in the body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, and I quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." Well, with Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership to calm.com/lockedon. That's right, go to calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. Okay, news parts are done. I'm gonna have some fun with this last segment. Let's get into a topic point that was kind of a battleground for Pittsburgh radio hosts on the start of this week. We had an article posted by Paul Zeiss of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a good writer and a guy that I'm friends with. He has me on his radio show on 93.7 The Fan now and again. He basically wrote an article that said it was talking about the conference championships and saying how the Steelers aren't anywhere close to where the Chiefs and the Niners are, and how far away they are from being actual Super Bowl contenders. That was an interesting take, and I was kind of like, I have my own thoughts there, but I was like, okay, Paul, do your thing. Well, then Adam Crowley, another friend of mine in the media, who also has me on his radio show on Pittsburgh ESPN Radio 970. AM, he kind of just responded to Paul Zeiss directly in saying that the Steelers aren't as far away from contention as some may seem. And that article published yesterday. So it was an interesting back and forth about where the Steelers are and just how good they are and how good they could be, yada, yada, yada. I listened to both their shows. It's been some interesting talk around the city. But I'm going to give my take as far as where the Steelers are. This is a, you know, and Adam brought up a good thing on his show, is that this often happens every year when your team isn't in it and you see the conference championships and the two teams that win and you just think, oh, man, I wish my team could be like that. Or, man, my team can't be like that. And everyone starts talking about comparing the teams and saying, you know, this, that, and what all has to happen and major upheaval and yada, yada, yada. I actually tweeted at him during his show, and I was like, you know, people love to be prisoners of the moment, and I think there's very rare instances where being a prisoner of the moment is a good thing, and that's kind of what happens when you look at people who get stuck and bogged down in the facts of, you know, what's happening, you know, right now in the NFL with other teams. You look at Patrick Mahomes putting up 51 points and then 34 points and just lighting people up and looking like an amazing quarterback. You heard Max Kellerman on ESPN saying that he was the greatest quarterback of all time already. Stop doing that, people. We're better than this. We've seen way too many times where someone thinks this is the best or that is the best. It's just like what I was talking about the other day about trends in the NFL. You know, people are talking about it's a passing league. It's never going to be a non-passing league again. And then the running game comes along because defenses have been focusing too much on the passing game. You know, people adapt. Things happen. Things always change in the NFL. There were people that thought Aaron Rodgers would never be stopped again after he won the Super Bowl and then was looking unstoppable in the early 2010s. And he hasn't won a Super Bowl since he beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45. But getting back to this point, if you looked at those games, you'd be impressed by how well the Niners ran the ball. You'd be impressed by how well that they rushed the passer. You'd be impressed by their team balance. Just like you'd be impressed by the Chiefs' speed on offense and how well their defense has come together and how Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. I know Lamar Jackson's the MVP, but Patrick Mahomes is killing people out. He's the assassin. You know, you can defend the run, you can defend this, you can defend the deep ball, you can defend, but eventually he's going to find a way to hurt you. He's going to have to make a mistake, or his players are going to have to make a mistake. He understands where his team is, where the defense is. He has a cannon of an arm, he has accuracy, and he can run. That's insane. To me, that's tough to stop. But I don't think that the Steelers are that far behind these guys. For example, look at the Niners. They were the number one seed in the NFC. They ran away with the playoffs. The Vikings were a joke compared to them. They smacked up the Packers, who were another team that was supposed to dominate the postseason. They were the number two seed, and they destroyed the Packers. Guess who almost beat the 49ers with a quarterback, Mason Rudolph, making his first ever career start in San Francisco? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I know. That was months ago. You know, the Niners were a different team. The Steelers are a different team. But hear me out. Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm still not sold on this guy being the truth or anything like that. I think he's a good quarterback. I think that he can do fine on a good team. But, you know, people look at Raheem Mostert's big day, and he deserves the credit. He deserves to be applauded. He deserves any awards he gets for that day. But I'm telling you, watching that game, I was seeing huge holes being opened up. And I didn't see him. It wasn't like Le'Veon Bell, who's like, I'm going to make three guys miss in the hole and then gain 6 yards. It was, oh no, there's a lane. I'm going to just run for eight. And the first person I get contacted by is the safety all the way down here. There are big differences in the NFL. It's between supreme running backs and running backs that benefit from great blocking. And sometimes it's a mix of both. And that's when you have a very dangerous combination. But what the Niners did to the Packers was bully them, because the Packers were a pass defense sort of unit, and they didn't have the big guys to plug up the front and stop the run, and they got punished for it. the Steelers have a great defense. You know, and this was part of the discussion too, because more people in the radio discussions, like Andrew Filippomi and Chris Mueller and all these other guys at 93.7 The Fan, they had been trying to say that, you know, the age of old quarterbacks is done. You know, no more Brady, no more Breeze, no more Rodgers, no more Ben, no more Rivers, no more Eli. Well, let's pump the brakes on that, shall we? Because just last year, Tom Brady won at the age of 41 years old. Peyton Manning, in his last year when he won a Super Bowl, he was horrible. That was the worst Peyton Manning we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. But why did the Broncos win? They had a great defense. They could run the ball when they needed to, and Peyton Manning was still a smart quarterback that could switch it up when he had to. And yes, they had a few things bounce their way. But what great team doesn't? It happens to everybody. But I think it's silly, you know, because one of the main counter arguments seems to be, well, Ben Roethlisberger, he may come back, but he'll never be the same that he was. The Steelers don't need him to be the same that he was. The biggest thing I think the Steelers need is for Ben Roethlisberger to be the smart quarterback that a veteran would be, to be able to call out the protections, see when running the ball would work, and not lose the games erratically and lose control of games and how defenses are trying to stop them. And to be able to get the ball out to their playmakers when they get the opportunity. That's the Ben Roethlisberger they need. They don't need him to throw for 40 touchdowns. They don't need him to lead the league in passing. They need him to cut down the interceptions, I'll say that. But they need him to just kind of just, hey, make the play when it's there. We're gonna run play action. We're gonna run the ball. We're gonna play a more balanced style of offense. And I think the Steelers, honestly, they're not that far away. And just a perfect example, if you're sitting there thinking, well, they can't be the Niners, they can't be a team that makes the Super Bowl, whatever. The Niners were just 4-12 last year. They had the second overall pick. That's how they got Joey Bosa. They were that bad. Why? Jimmy Garoppolo was out. They had a few other injuries as well. And they tanked. They went 4-12. Well, the Steelers were missing Ben Roethlisberger, who's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's been and they built their entire system around Ben Roethlisberger. And they've done so for years because he's been such a dependent part. They also jettisoned Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And you'd think that a team that was known for the Killer Bees, that was devoted to the Killer Bees, this was the picture of the team were those three guys, and none of them were available in 2019. And somehow they got to 8-8. Now, if you think that going from 4-12 to the Super Bowl and the number one seed, you think if you're just going to brush that aside and say, oh yeah, they did that, and then say the Steelers can't make a run after going 8-8, come on, get real. The Steelers have a great defense, and if anything, we've seen that great defenses can carry you to the Super Bowl. Look at the Broncos. They don't belong in the great teams of all time, but in that run that they had in the playoffs, they rushed the passer with Von Miller. They had cornerbacks that could cover. They hit well. They didn't allow teams to break big plays off on them. And Peyton Manning in the offense did just enough to get them over the top. They don't need Ben Roethlisberger to come out and lead the number one offense. They don't need 30 points a game anymore. They have the defense to hold teams accountable. They need to control the ball. They need to limit how many snaps the defense is on the field. But the offense now doesn't have to be all that. And I think, honestly, they're a couple pieces away from being an above-average offense. You get Ben Roethlisberger back and healthy and knowing the system and working in system. I think they need a playmaker running back. And if they get one of those top guys in this draft at the 49 pick, and as we said, Joe Marino's mock draft Monday had the Steelers selecting DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. Oof, that would be a huge pick. I don't see that happening. I just think Swift would be gone by then. But if he's there and they take him, that's your dynamic back. And now you have a guy who's a game breaker at the running back position and not just a middle round draft guy that you just picked up and you're hoping that he develops. No, Swift is ready to go. He's ready to make people miss. He's ready to have big plays galore. You have that on top of your young receiving core with the offensive line that's going to be coming back healthy and maybe have an addition or two or a couple of a new face or two. there's just so many things that could go right with that. And yeah, you don't need to be a top 5 offense. You probably don't even need to be a top 10 offense. Just be in the top 15, be in the top 13. You know, just do enough to get you, hey, here's 24 points. We're going to put that on for you. Might get you some early leads and let the defense play with their with their ears pinned back. That's what the Steelers need. And you really don't need much more than that to get after the to get after teams in these playoffs. Now, if you want to look at the Chiefs and say, man, I don't know if anyone can stop that offense, well, I'm going to tell you right now. I think the Steelers have the guys now. You know, when they played the Chiefs a year ago and everyone was thinking, oh, man, it's so insane that they got dismantled the way they did. The defense was a joke back then. You know, they had John Bostic having to start at inside linebacker. You know, Terrell Edmonds was a rookie in his second start of all, you know, ever. They still had Sean Davis, you know, with the secondary. Joe Hayden didn't even play that day. So they had Cody Sensabaugh and Artie Burns. You know, put that against this current Steelers defense with a competent offense. I think the Steelers could make that a game either in Kansas City or in Pittsburgh. And if you could take on the Chiefs and challenge them, I think you can take on anybody in the AFC, just like they took on the Ravens when they almost beat them in Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers are much closer than the average prisoner of the moment type of reporter or radio guy or just fan. If you're a person thinking, oh, there's no way they can get like that, I think that you're not reading the signs right. I don't think that you're reading between the lines correctly. This is what happens in sports. The NFL. There's always a new team that rises every year. I think they have a record of I think it's at least 4 more teams every year for the past 30 years have been new teams in their playoffs. It's just part of the NFL. Teams rise and fall all the time. But if nothing else has been learned in this time watching the Pittsburgh Steelers, their falls are a lot lighter than everyone else's. If you go back to, I think it was 1989 or 1990 or something like that, I think the Steelers have the best worst record in the NFL. It might be even further back, like 1984 or something like that. But you know, everyone else has bottomed out so hard except the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that includes in times with Bill Cowher and Chuck Knoll. And you know, Chuck Knoll, of course, the greatest coach in Steelers history, maybe of all time in the NFL. But you look at their worst records, there was always a sense of, hey, we're keeping the team together and there's something building there. Even if you didn't see it right away in the next season, it's there. I want to continue to iterate. Do not think that just because this team went 9-6-1 in 2018 and 8-8 in 2019 that they're doomed to be like this forever. I think if a few things go right, they're right in it. And those few things are, 1, you need people to be healthy. 2, you need Ben Roethlisberger back and you need him at full strength. And 3, they need to be able to develop a ground game. You do all that, you keep the same pieces, Bud Dupree sticks around, I think the Steelers are just as much of a contender as anyone else. That does it for today's show. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and a positive comment on any platform that you're listening to. Those things really help me get out the show and improve what we're talking about. If you want to interact with me, hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks to all those who do contact me throughout the week. It's always fun chatting with you guys, going back and forth about different things. Even if you disagree with me on something, I'm happy to disagree with people. I'm a very positive person, and sometimes people don't like it when you disagree with them. I'm perfectly fine with it. I think it makes for fun conversation. You can also join more of our faithful listeners in the Facebook group. So go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You'll be able to join myself and hundreds of others who have become big friends of the show. And we thank all those who do that now. Also, you can find my work at dkpittsburghsports.com. Where if you subscribe right now, you can get a trial membership for just 99 cents. Yes, that's just 99 cents for a month trial. You'll get all our coverage of the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, and the University of Pittsburgh Panthers all there for just 99 cents. Check us out. We've got the analysis. We've got the locker room talk. We've got the beat reporting. All of it there at dkpittsburghsports.com. I'll be back tomorrow with more Locked On Steelers.